Good morning, class.
Good to see you on this beautiful day. Glad to have all of you here. I trust you had a great week in the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning and we begin in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. Last month being stewardship month, we're talking about stewardship. January, we started with the most wonderful things ever happened to you. We're talking about salvation. Talking about the details of salvation, and today we want to pick that back up in the first day, first Sunday in March after stewardship month was last month. So we begin in Hebrews chapter number 1. Thank you for being here. Thank you for those that are visiting, those that are here. We trust God will bless us as we come together to now. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful once again for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be together. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who died for us and made it possible, Lord, that we could be the family of God together. Lord, help us now as we go through this time. Lord, as we focus upon your word, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. May he lead us and guide us. Lord, you know the needs today of every heart, of every individual that's here. And God, I know that the word of God is the answer for that need, no matter what it is. And I pray now the Spirit of God would take the word of God and use it to minister to every one of us here today. We need you today, Lord. We need your help. And God, we ask for you to be honored and glorified in all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now look in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Therefore, because of verses 1, 2, and 3, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We see here, now as we turn over to 1 Peter today, we've been talking about salvation. The most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you. The most wonderful things ever happened to me. You know, I'm so glad today to know that God, in his love and his mercy, has made a way for us as sinners to be forgiven and to be saved. We see here, as we look at salvation and what God has done for us, over in 1 Peter and chapter number 1, we'll continue our study as we left off last Sunday in January. We see that salvation is a gift from God. Amen? I'm glad for the gift of salvation. It's a gift to us. It wasn't free. Of course, Jesus died for our sins. But we see that it's a gift from God. God chose us out of his love to forgive us and to save us. What a wonderful God we know. What a wonderful God we serve for him to do that. We see that Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins. He died on Calvary that you and I could be forgiven. And so when we believe, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit reborns us and we become a child of God. I'm glad to know that I am a child of God, aren't you? I'm glad that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. There's no doubt in my heart. We also see that we have eternal life because of that. Because God gives us eternal life because of us trusting Jesus as our Savior. We see also that Peter here in 1 Peter chapter 1 is writing to Christians. He's writing to those that are being persecuted. You know, I'm not afraid, but we as Americans in this country today, we don't know much about persecution. We don't, but these believers were being persecuted. And Peter is writing to them, trying to encourage them, give them hope. He's writing to all those in Asia Minor. And we see here, as he looks at this, we see God's great blessing to his people. What God has done for you, what God has done for me in providing so great salvation to us today. I was thinking about this morning. We are to get on our knees and bow our heads and thank God every day if we are a child of God. Amen. I mean, there's people in the world today that need to hear. Some people want to hear, but most people don't want to hear. But we thank God today that we're saved. We're a child of God today. The most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you and to me is to become a child of God. Become saved. We see here first in verse number 2, as we look at this great thing called salvation in detail, we're going to review first of all. We see first of all the source of our salvation. The source of our salvation. In verse number 2, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. We see the source of our salvation is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see God the Son chose us. God the Holy Spirit has made us holy. And God the Jesus Christ has cleansed us by his blood. So we see the source of our salvation. We see the guarantee of our salvation in verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. I like that, don't you? A lively hope. We have a blessed hope. We have a lively hope here, we see, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, we can live also. Amen? We have the guarantee of our salvation because of him living by the resurrection. And verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God is reserving a place for you in heaven, an inheritance, a home in heaven. That's a guarantee of your salvation, folks. Listen, when Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He was talking to his children, who know they're saved and know they're guaranteed a home in heaven one day because of his promise, you see. We also see in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Listen, there's nothing I can do to keep me saved. There's nothing I can do to be saved. We're kept by the power of God because of his love towards us. We're kept by his power. Thank God today that the guarantee of our salvation is because of his resurrection, because of an inheritance in heaven, and also because of God's mighty power. Now we notice, as we concluded more or less in January, this thing about salvation. First of all, salvation proceeds from the love of God. It's because God loves you, because God loves me, we have the opportunity, we have the privilege to become children of God because of his love. It's all about him, folks. It's all about what he's done for us. Salvation is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, the fact that he came and lived, he died, and shed his blood on Calvary for you and I, that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Therefore, Jesus, his atonement, has made our salvation possible. We also see salvation is, first of all, is realized by forgiveness. If you are saved today, you can reflect back to that time in your life that you asked God to forgive your sins and come into your heart. Salvation is realized because you have been forgiven of your sins. Thank God that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins and forgiven you of your sins. Salvation is realized. Salvation is something that's a reality. It's not a dream. It's not a fantasy. It's something that's real because we've been forgiven of our sins by the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is also realized because of the new birth. I knew something had happened to me that day I asked Christ to come into my heart. Something different now was in me. It was the Holy Spirit of God. I was been born again. I really believe in my heart. You can't be saved and not know it. Amen. And thank God, I thank God for that today. Also, salvation is not only is realizing forgiveness, and also realizing being born again, but salvation is also realizing sanctification. From the day I got saved to now, I realized the day I got saved that something was different about me. And when I went out into the world, when I went to school, when I went to places I went to go, things were different. I didn't want to go where I used to go. So the Holy Spirit was living within me. He was sanctifying. He began his process of sanctifying me, of setting me apart from the world as I was a born-again child of God. So we're thankful today for what salvation does. Salvation one day will conclude in the resurrection. Salvation is a progressive thing. We're saved instantly, yes, but our lives as children of God is a progressive thing. From the new birth to sanctification, and as we go and one day we'll be glorified in heaven. Salvation will conclude one day in the resurrection by the glorification of all believers when we get home. And what a glad day that's going to be. I'm waiting for God to come anytime. But you know, the sad thing is today, rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest tragedy of human existence, because it literally seals an eternal a person's eternal doom. They have no hope. A person in this world lives and dies without trusting Christ as their Savior. They have no hope. They have no hope. And they are eternally doomed in a place called hell, the lake of fire. And what a tragedy that is, folks. What a tragedy that is. For us as believers to know we're saved on our way to heaven, and know we got friends and loved ones that aren't, the question is this: what are we doing about it? What are we doing about this, you know? Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with people, we ought to be doing that. So we see, first of all, the source of salvation. We also talked about the blessing of salvation. We read verses 3 through 5. We have a lively hope mentioned in verse number 3. Born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ. A lively hope. You know, if I die before Jesus comes, or if I don't die before he comes, I have that lively hope. Amen. One day, if I die before he comes, I know I have a triumphant exit from the grave one day. I'm going to leave the grave. If he comes before I do die, I'm going to leave this body and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lively hope. We have a lively hope. We have a lasting home. A lasting home. One day we're going to be triumphantly enter that place that Jesus Christ has prepared for us. So we see here the blessing of salvation, the source of salvation. And then we also mentioned last January, when we talked about it in January, we talked about also the battles in salvation. Something takes place when we get saved. We're born again. But we also see, after we are saved, there's something that's going on within me. There's a battle. There's a battle now going on in this life as I journey. As I go take my life, my career, whatever I'm doing, there's something that is battling me, something that is troubling me. It's not the fact that I'm saved. It's the fact that I'm living in a world of people that are not saved. I'm living in this world where people are not saved. And we see there's a battle that takes place with us. And we see this in verse number 6. Notice what it says. Verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. That is, we greatly rejoice for the fact that I am saved. Okay? I'm a born-again child of God. I'm happy that I'm saved. Wherein refers to being saved and being kept by the power of God, having a place reserved in heaven. Therefore, we rejoice in this thing here. But notice it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. For a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. If need be, the Bible says. You know, we don't need to look around us as children of God. When we look around us, we're going to see all things, all kinds of trials. But we need to stay focused on the truth. That is the Word of God. The Word of God is your strength. The Word of God is your food as a believer. And if we do not partake of the Word of God daily as a diet for our Christian life, we're going to be looking at trials, we're going to be looking at all kinds of things that are happening in the world that are negative. rather than focusing on the truth. You know, I know this and you know this too. The biggest need that we have in our lives as children of God today is to stay in the Word of God. To allow the Word of God to be our strength, to be our guide, and allow the Spirit of God who is within us to give us instruction from the Word of God to how to live the Christian life. So we see it's very important here that we look at this battle that's going on, you see, the battle in salvation. In verse number 6, we see the battle with preparation. I wasn't a Christian. I've become a Christian. I'm something new now. I'm something that I've never been before. And there's something battling me, something bothering me, even in this walk as a Christian. And I have to realize what's going on. I have to realize what's going on, you see. In verse number 6, we see, again, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, we all know what temptations are. We all know what temptations are. They're tests. They're tests that God allows us to go through in our life. And we see as a Christian here, the battle with preparation, being prepared. You know, football players had to get ready to play football, don't they? Any kind of athlete has to be prepared to do whatever they're going to do. Well, we as children of God, now because I've become a child of God, I've got to be prepared to live this Christian life. It ain't going to come automatically. This flesh is going to defeat you and me if we're not careful. But we need to be prepared in this life to live for the Lord. This is the battle he's talking about here. Battle through temptations, you see. God is preparing us for the life of service yet to come. Day by day, day by day, the trials, the testings that we go through. It can be physical, it can be mental, it can be emotional, it can be financial. All kinds of trials we go through. God is preparing us for this life to live for him till he comes. Trials are God's tools, if you please, in the school of Christian experience. You know, you've heard all your life, and I have to, experience is your best teacher, right? Until you go through something, you don't really know what it's like. Well, the Christian life, when we go through trials, these trials God is trying to give us experience of things that we're going to be facing in our life. This life, as Dr. Roloff says, the Christian life is not a recreation ground. It's a battlefield. You know that as well as I do. It's a battlefield. Every day we have to battle this flesh. We have to battle something in our life, you see. And these trials are here preparing us, you see. Getting prepared in Christian living, we learn many things about trials. Many things about trials. First of all, we learn that trials are necessary. The Bible says in verse number 6, if need be. You don't realize it, and I don't realize it, but we need trials in our life. We need trials in our life. The Bible says, if need be. God knows when we need trials. We need trials for many reasons. First of all, to discipline us. To discipline us in our life. That we might be more mindful of who we are and what we ought to be doing in our life. We need discipline in our life. That's why God sends trials sometimes to our life. We need trials also sometimes to direct us. We can easily go the wrong way. God sends trials sometimes to direct us in our life. And also God sends trials sometimes to grow us. To help us to be stronger. This is why trials come in our life, you see. We see here, these things are necessary as a Christian. Not only are they necessary, they are numerous. The verse says, manifold temptations. That means many trials are going to come. You know, when you go through one trial, you say, well, praise God, that's behind me, you know. But look out the next day, the next week, another one's going to pop up, isn't it? You see. And there's a reason for this. God is trying to help us as we walk this Christian life. So trials are, we see, first of all, they're necessary, and they're numerous. There are many of them in our lives as God's children. Also, we see they're not easy. Verse 6 says, if need be, ye are in heaviness. It don't say heavenness. It says heaviness. That means they're not easy. They're not easy. I said again, to deny the painfulness of trials in our life, though, will make us become weak. We must acknowledge to God, first of all, hey, Lord, I can't handle this trial. I can't deal with this. I need your help. I need your help. In every trial we have in our life, you see, don't deny the painfulness of trials. If we do, we're going to become weak. But we must acknowledge to God that we need his help. We need his help, you see. As Christians, we must face difficulties many times in our life. But children of God, lift up your head. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God will see you through. God will strengthen you. God will supply every need you have to go through this trial that you're facing in your life. So trials are necessary. They're numerous. They're not easy, but thank God, last and not least, they're not everlasting. They're not everlasting. They're not going to last forever. Notice in verse number 3, it says, for a season, verse number 6, for a season they're going to come. They don't last forever. They don't last forever. Thank God for that today. It's a blessing just to be a candidate for the refiner in the fire. We ought to count it a joy. When we are following all kinds of temptations, the Bible says, count it a joy when you fall in diverse temptations, you see, that you are a candidate to be refined for God's service, for God's service. What a joy it is, what a blessing it is. So we see here the battle. Here, first of all, we see also the battle with preparation. We talked about that with trials. Now, we look at the second battle, the battle with realization, realizing things now in my life as a Christian. Shocked. I just got saved. I walk out in the world the next day. I'm shocked. I realize, hey, what's going on? What is going on in my life? You know, all these things. You know, when I got to school, I got saved on Monday morning when I went to school. The first thing I heard when I approached my friends, I heard you got religion. I heard you got religion. Man, that kind of shocked me. I would realize, hey, I just got saved. I'm having to hear this kind of stuff, you know? Well, that's the way it is, folks. But God, you know, God enables us to keep going on, does he not? If we look to him and trust him, you see. The battle with realization. Turn to John chapter 15. When we realize what's going on in our life, God will help us. In John chapter 15, a very familiar verse to all of us. Look at verse number 1. Jesus is writing. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Look at verse number 5. I am the vine. Jesus says, who's the vine? Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Who's the branches? We are. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Do you get that? Jesus says, for without who? Without me, ye can do nothing. Folks, that's the key to going through trials and going through all the things we have to face in our life as a Christian. We must realize we can't do it ourselves. We have to depend upon Jesus Christ in everything that we face in our life, no matter what it is. And so, therefore, we find here the battle with realization. Why is God testing me? Why is God allowing this to happen to me in my life? Go back to 1 Peter now. 1 Peter, we see, why is God doing this to me? Why is he allowing it to take place in my life? We see here, first of all, in verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. We see here, we go through things in life that happen to us Because God wants us to see the preciousness of our trials. The preciousness of our trials. Our trials are very important to us in our life. We don't like them, but they're precious to us if we look back. First of all, we will never know the value of our faith unless we're tried. How valuable is your faith to you? What does your faith mean to you in the Lord Jesus Christ? You'll never know, and I'll never know, the value of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ apart from trials in your life. Apart from trials in your life. We will never know. Your faith is more precious than gold, Peter says. It's more precious than gold. We also see we must experience the storms in life sometimes to appreciate the anchor we have. Who is your anchor? Jesus Christ. And we go through storms in life sometimes to appreciate Him and what He is to us, what He does for us, what He wants to do for us, and how much He loves us, you see. So we see here, we must experience the storm sometimes to appreciate the anchor we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is God letting this happen to me? That's a question we all ask, isn't it? That's a question we all ask. But we need to stay focused and realize, hey, your trial of your faith is precious. It's precious. Your trial and your faith is to establish your anchor. Who are you depending upon? Who are you trusting? Are you going to trust yourself? Are you going to trust doctors? Are you going to trust medicine? Or who are you going to trust? We had to trust Jesus Christ. He's the anchor. He loves us. He loves us enough to die for us. He loves us enough to save us. I pray God He loves us enough to keep us saved until we get home. Amen? Whenever that day is going to be. I thank God for that today. The preciousness of our trial. Our faith is more precious to us than natural wealth. Any kind of wealth in this world. Our faith should be more precious to us. Our faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and who He is for us. We see also a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. If your faith was never tested, you will never have much faith. Your faith wouldn't grow. You will learn to trust your faith. Trust your faith. You know, I think most of you in here today have been saved for a number of years. And I know you're satisfied, you're settled as far as who your Savior is. And nobody is going to change your mind about the fact that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you and saved you. You got that settled, don't you? It's settled down. Nobody's going to change your mind. No matter who comes to your door and tries to give you any kind of literature, it's settled. Thank God for that today. A faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. Cannot be trusted. Trials prove real faith. Trials prove real faith. Who is our faith in today? Who is our faith in? So we see here the battle with realization. Things coming into our lives, shocking us sometimes. We must realize the preciousness of our faith, the preciousness of our trials to prove our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the purpose of our trials, look at verse number 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The praise, the honor, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of our trials. The purpose of our trials, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One day Jesus is coming. I believe that. He could come today. And your trial that you go through, and I go through in my life, is going to be for praise and honor and glory to Him because He is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's going to see you through no matter what you face in life. I'm glad. I'm glad to know that God is always there. Now, we talked about the battle with preparation, the battle with realization. Now, look at verse 8 and 9. We see the battle with dedication. Dedication. Spurgeon said one time, a little faith will take your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. how true that is today. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." We see here the battle with dedication. In our dedication, what do we need? What makes us dedicated? We love something, don't we? We love something. You're dedicated to your spouse. You're dedicated to your children. You love them, right? Dedication to God means we love Jesus Christ. We love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. You see, in our dedication, we need a practical love. Notice the Bible says in verse 8, "Whom having not seen, you what? You love." How can you love somebody you've never seen? How can you love somebody you've never seen in your life physically? The Bible says that this is a practice. We live for him, motivates us to good works. Motivates us to good works, you see. "Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you know." My, this is, you're talking about faith. This is faith, folks. When you love somebody you've never loved, when you believe somebody you've never seen, that's faith. That's faith in that individual, is it not? It's faith. We're talking about dedication, the battle with dedication. How dedicated are we to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see? We hope we have an expression of love here to him. We love him. Why? Why do we love Jesus? Because he first loved us, right? He first loved us. It's not that we have seen him. We love him because he first loved us. That's that love that we have towards him because we see it in the Word of God, what he did for us. So we see here we love him first because he first loved us. What our love does, it refuses to be left out. I'm going to love him. I'm not going to be left out. I'm going to love him. That's what my faith does, you see. Our love dares not to be left out. It won't be left out. Our love also, what it does, we see him not, yet believing him. I'm going to love him. I believe him because of who he is, you see. The battle with dedication. Dedication. You know, today, in the churches today, we need more dedicated people to the Lord. I'm afraid today we are caught up with the world. And if not careful, we'll do what we instructed not to do in John. We love the world more than we love God. The Bible says if we love the world more than we love God, the love of God is not in us. He's not in us because we don't love him. God help me and God help us today in this thing of dedication to make it a practice of loving him. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since you just said, "Jesus, I love you. God, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you"? That ought to be a daily thing, folks. This thing of dedication. The battle of dedicating our minds, our hearts, our souls to loving God. Say it out loud. You know, when I say something out loud, it means more to me than just when I read something silently. God can hear my voice when I don't say it. I say it in my heart. He hears that. But I think he rejoices more whenever he hears my voice. And I say, "God, I love you. Jesus, I love you." The battle with dedication in our lives today. Folks, we're in a battle. We're in a battle of loving God and loving Jesus the way we ought to, because the world is grabbing us. Every way we turn, the world is grabbing us and trying to deceive us and allure us into things in this world. The practice of loving him. Also, dedication, we need to praise. Praise Christ. Praise him. A praising life will cry. "Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory," the Bible says here in verse 8, by praising him. Praising him. You know, I found in my life, and I'm sure you have too as believers, it's a lot easier to praise God than it is to complain. A lot easier to praise God. And you know what? It's going to make my day a lot better when I praise Him rather than I complain. It makes my day a lot better. A lot better. Paul tells us, in all things, give praise to Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. Giving praise, you see. Dedication, we need to love Christ. We need to praise Christ. And then we also need, the last part of this verse, verse number 9, says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We see here, being like Christ. Receiving the end of your faith. Being like Jesus Christ. We should prefer to be more like Jesus every day. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. Yes, we're going through battles as Christians, but thank God we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
These battles are to help us, they're to grow us, they're to discipline us, and all these things in our life. And thank God that He loves us enough that He wants us to grow, that we might serve Him better every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for saving us. We thank you for the Christian life, Lord, that you've given to us. We thank you to God that you love us enough to save us, first of all, and you love us enough to keep us saved. And God, you love us enough to help us to grow by the things you allow in our life. Lord, I really believe there's nothing that comes in my life that, first of all, is not Father-filtered. Lord, you know about it. And God, you put it in my life to help me to be more like you, to grow, and to be disciplined, to live for you. Father, bless us as your children. God, help us to grow. And Lord, as we continue next week on this subject of salvation, Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to be reminded every day that we confront people, we meet people everywhere that need the Lord. And God, help us to be a witness for you. Have your will and way now in the next service. May you be honored. Bless the preachers, he preaches. Bless the singing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.